Coming up on today's program, a band here in KC whose music has been featured in New York Fashion Week. The Pitch described the moves and swagger of their lead singer as enough to make Shakira throw in her hat and retire. They've played with big acts such as the Yeah Yeah Yeahs and the Smashing Pumpkins. And they're still unsigned. For now. I'm Jabalani LaFall, and we'll hear all about the beautiful bodies on today's Central Standard. Plus, we learn about the Kansas City Collection, coming to an office near you. We'll hear how the Collectors Fund is encouraging a culture of art buying here in the Metro. That's all ahead on Central Standard after this hour's news. Good morning, Kansas City. When you think of private equity funds, you think of leveraged buyouts, mergers, acquisitions, stiff shirt, no-nonsense investors, suits and ties. When you think of private equity, you don't think of Thomas Hart Benton, Warhol, Picasso, or any type of artist. That's because there's an emerging practice of alternative asset management that is designed to focus on arts investments that do that thinking for you. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. And the basis of this program is what we're going to talk about today. Corporations collecting art and shoring up a local interest in local artists to be featured in galleries, in lobbies, basic places where you would normally see art. Our guests are Aaron Oldman Shipman, Collections Manager for the Collectors Fund, and Sandy Kemper, Director of the Collectors Fund. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks. Good morning.
Now tell us about the Collectors Fund. Tell us all about it. When did it start? How was it developed?
Well, it was developed almost 3 years ago, maybe more, maybe four
2007.
Years. 2007. Yeah, well, God, time goes by.
Yeah.
The thesis behind the Collectors Fund was that we would pool money to acquire art as friends and family that we would maybe not have been able to acquire by ourselves. And it grew into a group now of 100 families across the United States who share a collection. That collection includes the names of those artists you talked about just as we were opening the show. The drive for that was great art in homes. The drive for the KC collection is
great art.
Local and regional art from great artists in corporations.
Now, do institutional buyers have different tastes than private collectors? You mentioned your background in sort of taking 100 families, looking at collections, story collections from the likes of Thomas Hart Benton and some of the other right. well-known artists. But what about institutional buyers? What's different about
Well, you know, I think the institutional buyers might have the same bias. There are other art funds out there, but again, coming back to the KC collection, it's not so much about buying as it is supporting those local artists and getting that art into those corporations. So the corporations that we work with, some of whom were in last year and again this year, companies like Barclay and Energy, are valuing the creative catalysts that artists are in our community and want those local and regional artists to be represented in their offices for their employees, for their clients to see as a demonstration of their commitment and connection to something that's been really powerful in Kansas City, which is the local artist community.
Mm-hmm. And Aaron, you're on the curatorial side. So tell us how it works from an art perspective, from looking at the pieces, deciding what to go in and then.
Well, it's a pretty rigorous process, the entire selection of the artists that ultimately are a part of the Kansas City collection. We actually just sent out nominations to about 130 Kansas City area artists, which also includes artists from Lawrence and everything like that. And we'll receive those applications at the end of the month. And then we have a curatorial committee, which is made up of renowned figures in the arts community, both locally. We have Roger Shimomura. He's from KU and an esteemed artist in his own right. We have Peta Coyne, who is a New York-based artist. Loretta Howard, gallery owner in New York. Rochelle Smith and Bruce Hartman, director of the Nerman. And then we all meet and go over all of these applications, ultimately decide on 15 artists that we want in the collection.
What's on an application? What is the process like?
Well, we take into account their presence in the Kansas City community and their exhibition history and also just, you know, typical things that you look for when you're looking for great art, you know, so concept and visually pleasing. And of course, we have to take into consideration that these works are going to be in a corporate environment. And then we go from there.
So protest art with like skulls and crossbones doesn't necessarily
work.
There was some pretty challenging art last session.
Yeah,
tell us about that, the challenge.
Well, you know, some of the corporations, we've got a great diversity of corporations who come in, some who are going to align with more challenging works and some who are going to want perhaps a bit less challenging. And it just depends on who they are. But there was some very challenging and controversial works that some of the more creative firms decided to put up on their walls.
Well, mm-hmm. What are some examples of those?
Well, there were some political commentary that was challenging. There mm-hmm. was some
sculptural works that alluded to domestic violence, perhaps.
Yeah. And there was, I think, some very large-scale canvases that dealt with life and death and you know, mortality, sexuality, and, mm-hmm. and things that were, you know, I think in many ways we were pleased that the curatorial process was as rigorous mm-hmm. without really casting an eye much to, oh, dear, these things have to go into corporations.
Right.
There was enough. How many works did we have last year?
We had 83.
So people could choose. The corporations mm-hmm. could choose from the collection as they pick the pieces to rotate into their companies.
Aaron, and I guess Sandy, you can address this question too. Who is the point person at the average corporation that says, yeah, we will take the weird sculpture for our lobby? Who are you usually talking to?
Are you
talking to a community person, a marketing
usually the
person?
CEO.
The CEO himself or herself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, these decisions were made to come in as corporate sponsors at the top levels of the corporations, and it's entirely up to that corporation's taste and profile.
And at the beginning of the program, I always try to have a conversation with them, get an idea of, you know, what works they're drawn to and what things they're interested in, and then I try and base the exhibitions off that. And then I always kind of like to throw something in there that might surprise them, you know, might get them talking.
And how is this process different from selecting works for an exhibition or for a true gallery experience or for something that's more art?
No difference.
No difference.
Yeah. No difference. I mean, these are some of the same people that are doing the great curatorial processes at the museums. I mean, these names mm-hmm. are big names that are curating great shows mm-hmm. at their museums, and we're lucky to have them connected to the KC collection to curate this for these local and regional artists that were selected.
Now, Aaron, you mentioned that one of the criteria for evaluating an application for what artists or what artworks will get into this pool mm-hmm. is their history of exhibitions. Do you have any criteria for looking at fresh and new stuff?
Oh, well, I mean, a lot of these artists, a lot of it is fresh and new, and their exhibition history may not be as extensive as others.
It's up to the curatorial selection process. I mean, they see something that's new and fresh and extraordinary, they're going to pick it.
Right, exactly.
How does a process such as this give us an education about buying art or collecting art here in KC?
Well, I think for us to get over the hump initially, it was really important for the process to be curated and to bring in extraordinary curators from across the nation to do this thing in Kansas City. And I think that gave a lot of confidence to the corporations who then became our partners. And so these artists were vetted thoroughly. There was a great curatorial process. And at the end of the day, the corporations felt that was really something unusual that's never been done. So we were able to bring a rigorous process with all the expense of that process pooled together, right, so that there was the ability to defray the cost across 10 corporations. It would be very hard for a corporation to do this by themselves. But with 10 others doing the same thing, we were able to put together what amounts to a museum-quality show that was going to rotate in and out of the various corporations who were our partners.
So talk about that rotation. How does that work?
I think that's the best part. I mean, for a very finite amount of money, so about the same amount of money that you could put up, you know, prints and lithos on your walls, you're getting great art curated in a very disciplined fashion, and you're getting three times more than mm-hmm. what your money would normally buy because you're getting three rotations over an 18-month mm-hmm. period. So three 6-month rotations brings in. So if you put $50,000 in, you end up with $150,000 to $200,000 of art coming through your corporation. And at the end of the day, and this is where I think the real value and the way we designed this, so this is not something that the Collectors Fund makes money on. This is something that we wanted to do for the community. At the end of the day, 80% of the money that corporation put into the collection comes back to them in the form of art.
So that's the exchange.
Yeah,
that's the
exactly.
return on investment,
exactly.
so to speak.
Yeah.
Is there a time limit on how long institutions or corporations get to hold any given amount of art or any artwork? Is there a rotation time period, Aaron?
Well, 6 months is each rotation period. And then you know, we have three of those over the 18-month period. So 6 months, they get a piece of art or several pieces of art in their workspace. And then when that 6 months is over, I take it all out and bring them all new stuff. So they have a variety of...
Has anyone ever come to you and said, you know what, this artwork has come to define our lobby and by extension our brand. Can we hold on to it for a little bit longer?
Well, we've had a lot of corporations that have really, really enjoyed specific pieces and especially, you know, the placement of certain pieces. And the solution to that is to buy it.
And they do at the end yeah. of the day or even sometimes before the show is over, they can acquire the art if they don't want it to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So this is almost a lease with an option to buy sort
yeah,
of situation.
Yeah.
Well, even better because it's a lease with an absolute buy, right? So mm-hmm. 80% of your lease price translates into 80% of your sponsorship comes back to you in the form of art at the end of the show. You have a permanent collection at the end of this at the end of your 18-month period.
You sound like you have a lot of experience in finance.
A little bit of finance.
just a little bit.
I don't own up to it much anymore, but there's still some residual there.
You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR 89.3 on your FM dial with a live stream on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. We're discussing art collecting from an organizational perspective and how collectors can rotate artwork through buying into an artwork fund and how businesses and large institutional art buyers share artworks. By participating in this fund, our guests are Aaron Ullman Shipman, a collections manager for the Collectors Fund, and Sandy Kemper, the director of that same Collectors Fund. Do you look at models such as this in other cities for inspiration? Do you meet with other people that are doing similar
yeah.
things?
When we started it, there wasn't another analog out there. And I think part of the reason some of our partners came in early on was that they were regional and they were thinking about doing this or helping us do something, let's say, in Denver or St. Louis. We don't see anyone doing what we're doing today, and I think that's unfortunate. I think this mm-hmm. is a really great model that makes mm-hmm. a lot of sense for our corporate partners. We'd love to see it expand nationally. And if anybody wanted to learn more about how to do it, we'd be happy to help.
Mm-hmm. Well, Aaron, what's unique about it, and why hadn't it been done before, especially when you talk about defraying costs and sharing community resources in the form of art?
That's a good question.
I don't know if anyone has been done before.
Well, I think it takes a little bit of vision. And so those early sponsors of ours, the guys who came in 2 years ago, and then I think you know some of the names, but they were the ones who really ended up valuing creativity, right? I mean, so you had Barclay very early on. You had Energy. You had Kaufman. You had Bishop McCann.
Mm-hmm.
You had Drug-Free Sports.
Helix.
You had Helix. You had the Peruvian Connection. I mean, these were mm-hmm. companies that had a vision around the power of creativity. And these weren't the same. These weren't companies that just wanted to put posters up on their wall. They wanted to do something that showed their commitment to creativity, to the entrepreneurs who were part of the creative community, to the artists who were here in this community that means so much to our economy. And I think that's really a unique aspect right now in Kansas City. When I travel on the East Coast or the West Coast, people are constantly asking me about all the good things that are going on in Kansas. We have a very vibrant arts community, and people want to know why. So mm-hmm. I think maybe we're just the leaders here right now, and perhaps others will follow.
That said, do you look maybe to outside corporations to exhibit the works of Kansas City artists?
Oh, we'd love that. We'd love to see more of that.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, you've got to start locally, and I think then we can grow a bit more globally.
And glow as well.
Yeah, and glow.
What types of institutions? You mentioned a couple of corporate names and a couple of local brands. But what types of institutions or organizations are typically in the business of really wanting to collect art as opposed to, as you said, just putting a poster up?
Yeah, and I think I'd refine the question, if I could, just a second, because I think it's – you've got certain corporations who have a predisposition to think about collecting, but I don't think it's the act of collecting that's enticing them. I think it's the rigor, the process, the commitment to creativity, and the sort of individualism and uniqueness that comes with that approach to collecting as compared to acquiring print number 35 from XYZ artist. it's those corporations that have that desire to show that they're different in some way from the others, those are the ones who are the early movers with us, and they continue to be the ones with us in the second program.
What's the value if I'm a new corporation and you're sitting down and you're pitching me? What's the value, even if I love art, what's the value of me coming in and participating in the Collectors Fund?
You know, it's been a while since I looked at the study, but the NEA did a really interesting study of the impact of original art in corporations, mm-hmm. and employee satisfaction, client satisfaction, mm-hmm. and that projection of creativity. Mm-hmm. I think it shows that you're willing to be different. I think people are looking for points of differentiation. If I'm going to partner with a corporation, I want that. In other words, if as a businessman, I'm going to be a partner with that corporation, I don't want the same old, same old. I want someone who's going to be a leader. Someone's going to be unique. Somebody's mm-hmm. going to see themselves in a different way and wants to be perceived in a different way. Art, original, unique, extraordinary art, can visually reinforce that individualism and that approach to creativity.
Is there a mix of motive or motivation in participating? Are some corporations simply altruistic and want to help the community, and are others actually looking for, as we mentioned, an alternative asset?
I don't know that they're necessarily coming in because they believe that the art's going to magnificently appreciate it. I think they appreciate the art, but they're not in it for the economics of the art. Mm-hmm. They're in it for the connection to the artist. Mm-hmm. You know, we bring in the artists who were part of the first program, came into the corporations and did brown bag lunches with employees, mm-hmm. with clients, where mm-hmm. they were talking about the art that was there in the lobby, and that was a really cool experience for a lot of the employees and the associates to be able to hear the artist who did this work, what motivated that artist, why it was important to the artist, and to have that artist and the work in their company was beautiful.
Yeah.
Tell us about some of these brown bag lunches, Erin, and what happens at them.
Well, we invite the art, or the corporations invite the artists to come, and it was a lunch and learn that Sandy's referencing. We also did cocktail receptions and just general artist talks, and it was a great opportunity for the artists to come in and, you know, give some context to their work and just answer any questions, especially with these pieces that were a little bit more difficult for people to accept or to necessarily get. It was a great opportunity for the businesses and their associates to appreciate those works a little
bit. Give me an example. You don't necessarily have to mention the company or corporation, but give me an example of when the artist sort of went into detail about the context of a piece and explained why it was the way it was.
Yeah, well, I can think of a couple great examples, actually. There, as I mentioned, there were those sculptural pieces that alluded to domestic violence and things like that. And when the artist came in and he talked about, they were pillows, basically, and they looked like they were bruised and battered and had these titles that, bottom stare and things like that. People had a hard time with them. and when the artist came in and he talked about how a lot of that had to do with kind of this violence that was going on in his mind and how that actually physically transferred to his pillow and how he would wake up and look at those pillows and think, oh, that was a rough night. You know, that gave them a different way to look at that art and appreciate it a little bit more.
Where is this piece placed, by the way? Do people see it as they come through a lobby, or where is this piece placed?
Those pieces were placed
in
public spaces, lobbies.
And then they were challenging visually, but then to hear the artist talk about it, what he was talking about was the struggles, right? We have dreams that are good and bad, and in the end he'd look at his pillow and say, wow, that must have been a rough night.
Right.
And then he made a beautiful sculpture of the mm-hmm. work that looked as if it was a pillow, but of course constructed of different materials, mm-hmm. and it was it was about the dream sequence. It was about life. It was about the things that happen. And it was an allegory, if you will, for the individual.
Kind of like an allegory pillow talk.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Where do corporations typically place their arts? Is it typically in lobbies? Curatorially, you have to consider that too, right?
Yeah.
Where to actually place the piece.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What do they look to do?
The goal is to have the art so that, you know, anyone coming into these businesses has access to it, and that all of the employees have access to the art as well. So we don't necessarily want to just stick them in an office, you know, behind a closed door. And, you know, sometimes that happens, but not often.
I think a good case point would be Kaufman, where they put it in the main conference area.
Right, exactly.
Tens of thousands of people could see it, and those artists were getting great exposure that way, too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Getting back into this idea of rotation and rotating the art, do the corporations and businesses know what's next in the rotation, or do you just have fun and say, I'm going to bring in these.
They get to pick.
Clowns.
Aaron has a little bit of fun every now and then.
I do have a little fun. I always chat with them. And when I do decide on the works that I want to bring in, I always want to buy them first. I don't want to surprise anybody. Yeah. So.
They're the guys that are making the program happen, so they need to be very happy with the art that's in their office.
Right,
lobbies.
Absolutely.
Do you mix and match your collections, or do you do it based on what you know to be the tastes of certain corporations?
Well, I like to play to their tastes, obviously. But like I said, I always like to bring in something that might be a little bit more challenging for them, just because I think that results in a better experience for them.
Sandy, what will these funds look like in the future, and how do you think they'll change the art world?
Well, I think that there's two things really that we're talking about. One, we've got the Collectors Fund that does the American Masters Collection and the 20th Century Masters Collection now, and that is in fact a fund that's taking
fund that is more like an investment,
significant amount of money going into the names of those artists you were talking about: a Warhol, a Wesselman, a Benson, a Grant Wood, everything from early 1900s on. And there are a number of those that are out there, and right now, given what's this isn't necessarily the topic we're talking about here with the KC collection, but given the challenges in the economy, the potential devaluation of the dollar relative to its purchasing power of commodities and elsewhere, other asset classes, we're seeing art having a fairly significant track record of outperforming both equity, bonds, and general investment funds. So I think there's a lot of interest now in that, and one has to be fairly careful. And so we're very conservative and very prudent in how we acquire art with the American Masters Collection and the 20th Century Masters Collection. But that's a very different thing than what we're doing here at the KC Collection, which
right.
is not so much about investment and more about mm-hmm. that connection to the artists.
Mm-hmm. Could, though, the KC Collection morph into something that is a hybrid of the two?
Yeah,
part altruistic, part return on investment.
It could. I mean, we talked earlier before the show. I mean, there are examples of regional and local artists everywhere mm-hmm. being elevated up by shows like this mm-hmm. and great galleries grabbing that artist and promoting and driving. And, you know, one of the things that we do at the KC Collection, not just the curatorial process, but there's a really beautiful catalog that Erin and her team put together. And there's 1,000 catalogs that are distributed to all the companies and to the artists. And our job is to elevate that artist mm-hmm. as best we can to promote and drive sales for those entrepreneurs, those artists. And, mm-hmm. and that's a big part of what we do. And so perhaps, Javelani, that does occur.
Erin, how do you determine what's in the catalogs that are going out?
Well, we have amazing crew at Barclay that helped us with the design of the catalog, and we have great images from all the artists. We commission essays by local arts writers that write beautiful essays on the artists, and those are all appear in the catalog. Their CVs, their exhibition history, all of that stuff. And those are, we ordered 500,000 last year, 50,000?
Did 50, we do 500,000?
No, okay, 50.
You sent them to all of your friends.
All of my friends. No, 50,000. 50,000 yeah. catalogs last year. And those go to the corporations, those go to the artists, those go to, you know, anyone that's interested in the program. So that becomes a great
it's a great promotional item for the artist.
Yeah.
Do you just send them out, or do you actually send them out, go in, follow up, and look over their shoulders? That one's good. That one's good. Well, turn the page. Turn the page. That one's
She's
good.
Subliminally always trying to drive revenue for
yeah,
the
process.
Right,
work. Right, right.
You just send them out, and they give you a call. Is that?
Well, they're always in the lobbies of the corporation. So here's the art, and then you know there might be a stack of catalogs in
yeah.
every one of these corporate lobbies, and people yeah. are taking them. I said, you know, if they go through 100 a day, we'll send
That's,
more catalogs.
I mean,
in.
Sometimes people have called us, you know, and asked for additional catalogs because, yeah, people have taken them, been
yeah.
interested in
That's
them,
what we want.
Walked away. Yeah, exactly.
Sandy, do you have an ideal number of local businesses that you'd like to see involved in this?
Yeah, all of them.
All of them. Literally all of them.
I think it, in an absolute view of this would be that it should be this way. I mean, if there is nothing better than supporting, connecting to those artists who are the great catalysts in our creative community, and done properly with a great curatorial discipline, with this defraying of costs across multiple corporations, it's actually much more cost-effective than any other form of art or decoration you're going to put in your office. And it says something about you that's unique, and that's what we want to emphasize here in Kansas City.
How much does it cost for each corporation to get in and to make the allocation effective and manageable?
A couple levels, I believe 35 and 50,000, and it only differences the amount of art that comes into your corporation, the number of catalogs you get, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But it's reasonable when you think that 80% of that then comes back to you in the form of art. So your net costs on the program are 20% of that, and then you think about all of the connection, the shows like this, the PR, the promotion that goes for those corporations and that connection to the community. I think it's as I said, this is not economically interesting for us. This is not a moneymaker for us. We're doing this because we want to do the right thing by this community. There isn't a better way for those corporations to connect to the community, get great recognition for what they're doing than by being part of the KC Collection.
And they allow you to manage the collection then and decide what goes in and what goes out. Is it a collaborative process?
Oh, well, it takes the legwork out of it for them. You know, I mean, they have this team of professionals that's willing to go out and get the art and decide on the art that's going to be in the collection and then professionally install it, curate these shows for them. It's a win-win situation.
How much of this goes back to the artist, back to the source? You mentioned the entrepreneurial vigor of the artist. How much of it?
I think the show or the program last year generated over 150,000 in sales.
Mm-hmm. And it went back to the artists. We guarantee for every artist that they'll sell at least 20%.
Yeah, so that's sort of interesting thing we should talk about. And just briefly, we do underwrite. So the Collectors Fund, this thing that manages the private equity stuff, underwrites and guarantees each artist that at least 25%, is it right?
20%.
Maybe this year it's 25%.
Easy, yeah.
Every artist in the program is guaranteed of selling work. And they'll either sell it to us and we'll underwrite it, or we'll make sure that the corporations get it. So this is economically compelling to the artist as well.
So if you're selected for the process to be included, it's a win-win.
Yeah,
guaranteed
absolutely.
Sales.
As an artist.
Guaranteed sales.
Mm-hmm. We're discussing art collection from an organizational perspective and how businesses and large institutional buyers are sharing artworks in a local collector's fund. Our guests are Aaron Ohm Shipman, Collections Manager for the Collector's Fund, and Sandy Kemper, Director of the Collector's Fund. Thank you so much for
coming in
and joining us.
Fun to be here. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we chat with the KC rock band Beautiful Bodies and find out how they rock the world of fans with their unique stage show and hybrid punk and new wave sound. We'll be right back.